Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Time for Senior Moments. Brian Sexton along with senior writer John Osier, senior producer Joe Fortunato. And we're here to talk to you. Call me crazy, but last week, the television crew met the night before the game with Doug Marrone. And I left with a distinct impression that he wasn't worried about the quarterback. He was worried about the offensive line.
Well.
Now, there were not a whole
there's
lot
reason
of,
to. Yeah,
I know.
I get it.
No, we do. There were really no questions about the offensive line last week because, like all things quarterback, it sucked up all the oxygen in the room. And we'll talk about it, no doubt, here. But I'm going to offer to you, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, if the offensive line plays like it did last Thursday, it doesn't matter who it is.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
We'll talk about quarterback because everything about this team is built on the ability to run the ball, which controls the clock, helps the defense, allows the quarterback time to be successful in play action, which, you know, right now hadn't even been a thought. So, yeah, there's some big issues on this team. And the headline issue, the Twitter issue is quarterback. The football issue, the one I'm sure they're worried about walking the hallway, is offensive line.
All right, so let's go left to right. Doug Marrone said Cam Robinson was shaky early, but got better as the game went along, which is what you expect from a rookie. It's going to happen.
Well, and I think there's really – they got to start Cam Robinson. I mean,
yeah. He's got a world of potential. He's just going to have to grow into the job.
Right. I'm sure Doug feels that. Even if he didn't, I think Cam Robinson would be the guy they're choosing to trust there.
Yeah. Well, is he a good player or not?
Yeah, he will be.
Okay.
I mean, and I say he's going to have his hiccups. There's not a shred of doubt from anybody you talk to that he's eventually going to be good.
Right.
So let
him
go.
Why not throw him in there?
Yeah.
I'm with you. Good player. Left guard this week, Luke Boanko. What did it take? Two plays before he got overwhelmed? Now, Kawan Short, admittedly, is one of the better interior tackles in the game. I mean, a really impressive physical guy.
Yeah, Gerald McCoy beat that position the week before. Good, obviously good player.
You know, and that's who you're going to face. You're going to face the best players.
Right, you're going to play
guys like that.
Yeah, you're going to play good players, and if you can't beat, if you're conceding to lose to the teams who have good interior tackles, then you're in trouble.
Okay, so left guard is this giant sucking vacuum right now, right? A void. It's a real problem. Brandon Leonard at center. We'll come back and address the void. Brandon Leonard at center, you feel confident with?
Yeah, he's fine.
Right.
Okay.
Fine. $11 million a
year. Well, no.
You know, I mean, you kind of need him to be fine.
It's hard to tell how good a center's playing.
True.
When there's chaos
around him.
When I say fine, I mean nobody's worried about Brandon Leonard.
Okay. Right guard A.J. Cann.
Really struggled on Tuesday. Not Thursday.
He
probably struggled Tuesday, too, at this point.
Yeah. Every day's a struggle. Patrick Omame was the problem against Tampa. And he was such a problem that we may have overlooked A.J. Cann. A.J. Cann was his own unique problem last week. I mean, it didn't look like he belonged on the field.
Right.
This is a guy who had 29 starts. Yeah.
And the book on him is he'll look really good at times and then have really bad moments, bad games. And the other night, I guess the problem is I don't know what your option is beyond A.J. Cann.
We're not doing options yet. Hold on.
Right.
Hold on. So we'll attach the same stigma to the right guard spot that we did the left and go to right tackle Jeremy Parnell. And how comfortable, how confident are you with the $6 million man at right tackle?
You know,
didn't play all that well the other night.
Would you like to have a better? I think so. I don't think he's, you know, and he'd be talking like this about the guys, but I don't think he's as bad as the perception out there. There are fans who can't believe he's on the roster, got to replace him. I think he's okay.
All right. So my contention has been that at tackles, you've got something you can work with. And at center,
you've got
a guy that you expect to be the heartbeat of your
life. Right, and again, when I went through the list, I wasn't going head over heels on any of them because you can't right now. But
right.
I'm with you.
Okay, three of the
outside
five
and interior, I don't think you – I think you've got to go with what you got there, I guess the best way to put it.
What do you do at guard on August 26th, the last weekend before you have to make cuts? You know, it's interesting. We talked a little bit. They could have paid Kevin Zeitler $12-13 million bucks a year. I understood why they didn't at the time. They could have gone and signed Orlando Brown or DJ Fluker, the massive guards that played in San Diego last year. One signed with the Giants, the other signed with the Saints, and it turns out neither one of them are likely to even make those teams.
Right. Sometimes what you get into, and I think we got into this situation talking, when I say we, I mean everybody who was talking about this offseason, I think you're in the same situation at guard, maybe that you were a quarterback, where as much as you pound tables, sometimes it's not out there. Now, you might, meaning quarterback, I get that nobody's satisfied with Blake and Chad right now. If you didn't love rookies at that position, then was there anything in free agency that you loved? And I only say quarterback, we're talking about offensive line, to get back to, was there anything in free agency that you loved? Did you love rookies? Did you know it was an issue but had to go another direction because you felt like you needed the roster to get better at these spots? It's tough right now to say they shouldn't have done more in free agency, but do you operate in free agency just to fill March holes and then have the same problem here had you signed free agents? So I'm being mealy-mouthed about it. I don't know what they should have done.
Well, look, my right or wrong, I thought A.J. Cann would rebound, and he played well as a rookie.
Well, clearly they did, too, yeah, because you had new offensive line coach. You had Coughlin looking at him.
He looks like a guard. He's a compact, powerful guy.
Right. That's the thing I was getting to was when you look at him on tape and you looked at the potential, which is what you have to do when you're coming in January 9th to the start of free agency, you look at it and say, okay, I like that. I can envision Pat Flaherty coming in and working with that. That's a core of talent that I believe he can take and use. And then when you look around the rest of the league, you're like, oh, it's better than that. It's better than that. Let's go with that. Well, if it doesn't happen where it pans out, then you're in trouble.
And that's the problem, because you think, all right, we've got a body of work on him from 2015. We liked it. It was fine. We thought he'd get better. He didn't in 16. Now we've got a top-shelf coach coming in here. He'll be okay. We can work with that.
And all the theories that make all the sense in the world in March.
Then you figure out, okay, the left guard spot, we've got Pat Omame, who played 7 games and played okay, played pretty well before he got hurt last year. Maybe we can work with that as opposed to paying, you know, $13 million for Kevin Zeitler or taking a chance on a rookie. It makes sense, except when it doesn't. When none of it comes together like they were hoping it would.
Let's clarify here. Brandon Albert also messed this up because you can say what you want, and they can say what they want about Cam Robinson drafted left tackle. That's what it is. Brandon Albert was going to play left tackle, and Cam Robinson was going to play interior.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
So that would have been Cam Robinson at left guard. Yeah, we would have had these all off season, all training camp. We'd have been talking, can you transition there? He's never played there. But again, much like AJ Cann, you would have had a talent equity, so to speak, that you knew was there, a talent was there. Brandon Albert not being here, that was the hand they dealt themselves, and that's where it's hurting, not necessarily at left tackle, but on the interior.
Well, you have 3 guards who have started, and none of them look like guys. I mean, maybe it changes this week, but none of them look like guys that you can count on right now. So you're down Brandon Albert, which means you're down Cam Robinson as a guard prospect,
correct,
which means now you're talking about who, right? I mean, who can Earl Watford? Are we going to see whether he can step into the void? You know, the free agent from Arizona.
I would be surprised.
Tyler Shatley.
You know,
you'd be surprised if Watford what?
If he's not a huge factor somewhere.
Because, well, he's got to be now.
Yeah, and that's sort of the X factor. He wasn't in camp, I forget the number of days, but a significant 2 or 3 week swath of camp that he was out. He's much like the Laurenti McRae signing, the Josh McNary signing. They brought him in because he's a veteran, and they wanted those they wanted those backup spots, their emergency spots, if you will, to not be undrafted free agent rookies anymore. And Watford's a fifth-year guy, I think.
We'll probably see plenty of him in Atlanta. Yeah, we're going to probably see plenty of him in Atlanta.
And, the only thing you hold on to, and it's concerning that – I guess the concern is that Doug's clearly concerned. He made clear in the press conference today that a huge reason for going with Blake was the fact that Blake's mobile. Well, that sort of means that you think he's going to have to be mobile. I mean, I'm not breaking any news there.
No, you're just connecting dots.
So usually this time of training camp, preseason, when the media is concerned about the offensive line, there's sort of a, not a smugness, but on the part of coaches and GMs, like, well, preseason, you can't tell much on the offensive line. We'll be fine when we scheme it. There's concern. Yeah. Now, let's clarify here. Concern doesn't necessarily mean that it can't work out. But right now, as Doug likes to say, got some work to do to make it work out.
You know, I tell you the story all the time about 06, Tony Dungy after the Jags run for 375 on them. I was interested in what he had to say because it seemed like an utter disaster for a team with Super Bowl aspirations. And he was as calm and relaxed as he could possibly be.
Well, maybe he was, Brian, but the rest of that building wasn't.
Yeah, I know.
But he was. I get your point.
But my point was, is he said, no, we know what we have to do to fix it. We understand. We've got to do a little here and a little there. We can get this fixed. And, of course, they did, and they played incredibly well in the playoffs, and they went on and they won the Super Bowl. The reason I bring the story up is do you think that the brain trust here, right, Tom, Doug, and Pat Flaherty, the offensive line coach, think they can fix this with what they've got, with scheme, with the talent that's here?
Well, I think they I'm sure they believe there are things to try. You also, I don't know realistically. What I want to say is that when cuts are made next week and you cut from 90 to 53, you got to think that's probably a position where they're really studying hard. The problem is, what are you studying when you're studying the waiver wire hard on the cut to 53? I could see them bringing somebody in. I don't know that you're going to have the stroke of luck of finding Ben Coleman out there.
I remember.
It can happen. But it's not a high percentage approach. So I always hesitate to say that you're going to find some help on the waiver wire because, you know, usually the waiver wire is Earl Watford, I think, is better than the waiver wire, I guess is my point. So I think you're going to see that option really tried first because he was not a frontline free agent, but he was in that next tier, wasn't too far down the list. He would have signed and played somewhere. So this is a guy you got to see what he can do.
Everyone who's listening right now has they want to know about the quarterback decision. And here's my thought on it. And you can go wherever you want with it. I really admire the way that Blake handled the situation.
Mm-hmm.
From coming back into the locker room on Thursday night after the Bucs game to the way that he spoke after the game on Thursday against Carolina. I asked him the question, does this feel better than it did a week ago? And he gave a fantastic, mm-hmm. thoughtful, introspective answer to today, where he stood there as a man, and that's important to me. I have three boys. I hope they can handle themselves in adverse situations like he did today. And he said, I came in here, and I didn't want anybody to know I was unhappy.
Right.
I didn't want anybody to look and say, oh, he's pouting about this, for my own reasons.
Sure.
I get it, and I appreciate people who deal with adversity like he did. That gives me some hope that he can grow through the situation and is going to play better.
Yeah,
because it tells me he had the right mindset.
I probably differ with you on one point with Blake. I'm not surprised that he handled it that way. I have always thought, for the most part, he handled himself in 4 years pretty well. He's had some adversity. He's always been a guy who is willing, when he's asked a question, to try to answer it as upfront and as well as possible. I think if it was a mental thing, if it's a matter of how you handle yourself, do you have the moxie? Do you have the it factor to be a quarterback? I've never doubted he does that. I guess at this point, I wonder, after 3 years, some guys don't have it in terms of doing it on the field. And I don't think the off-field intangible work stuff has ever been Blake's issue. After a while, you just wonder if he can get it done on the field. I hope he can. We haven't seen enough of it to think that history tells you he's going to do it.
Right.
But can he? I think we're going to find out in the first 4 weeks of the season.
Well, I don't expect him to transform himself as a quarterback. But the thing I think is there's some potential there that has not been reached, actualized, mm-hmm. right? For all the off-field reasons, for all the laid-back, sort of casual approach. I don't mean that he doesn't work hard.
I hear you.
No, right? My thought is, if he handled the situation, that's tough now.
Sure. Right?
We're talking about a guy who was massively in the limelight. It was all over the websites, everywhere you looked. Bortles demoted. Bortles could get cut. Would they sign Kaepernick? That will test anyone. Test a 48-year-old man here. Can't imagine being a 25-year-old and having the poise to handle it well. And he did. So here's what I'm saying. I expect that perhaps he will go forward and have a little sharper focus approach, be more determined to reach the potential he does have. Whether that's anything beyond this year.
Right.
Hell, John, if it's anything beyond opening day.
Right.
I would expect, based on what I heard today, that he will get closer to what he's supposed to be.
Yeah, when I say that Blake has handled things well, let me clarify that by saying he's never had to handle anything as tough as
not
he
like
did
this.
During that 8 days. So, or 8 or 9 days. And I think the answer you're referring to was when I asked him, you know, do you feel like you're going to handle it well? And it may have been a different question, but...
No, that was it.
Do you feel like you'll move forward? And he did say he wanted his body language. He didn't want anybody in the stands to look at him and think, this is a guy who's not handling, this is a guy who's pouting, et cetera, et cetera. So he clearly passed that mental test. Now the question becomes, can he get back? I always thought, Brian, what this team wanted from him, what it banked on, was that whatever Blake becomes, he can't be, or not, it can't be worse. We think we can get out of him what we got the last two games of last season. That had to be the baseline. One touchdown, no interception, 600 yards, not great, but good enough to beat the Titans bad and good enough to have a huge lead on the Colts. That had to be what they said. That's enough that we don't want anything else right now. Well, he wasn't that in the first few weeks of training camp. Can this test, can he get back mentally to where he's there, to where he's those two games? Yep. That's the million-dollar question, because that's what they need out of him. You have to think that in their heart of hearts, Doug Marrone, Caldwell, Hackett, Coughlin, all believe if we can get back to that baseline, we got a shot. He wasn't in because he hadn't reached that baseline. Does this get him back to it? Can he get to where he's stable enough to give you that? That will decide the season.
You said that's a million-dollar question?
That's the $19 million question.
I love to end things on $19 million questions. So unless you have something else to say, why don't we sign it off for now?
We're good.
John Osher, thanks so much. Hey, Joe, we appreciate you too. That's Senior Moments, folks. Stay tuned. Much more to come.